Now we're on. Good. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And we got a long study to do, so let's go right to it. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. There is so much going on through the world today. How wonderful it is to know our confidence is in Christ. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning is glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's begin with song.
Let's begin to sing with hymn 347. Turn to hymn 347, I Surrender All.
Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered him, that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for a transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned to be with wicked men, yet he was a rich man in his debts. Although he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, we will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous man, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many, and interceded for the transgressors. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
All right, folks, let's continue.
You on mute?
Hello? Still mute? 334. Let's continue to number 334. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descend. Bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Now,
oh,
all right. Let's go through some announcements and things. Now, we've talked about getting sometime invite people to our church. So, how about next Sunday is the Lord's table, and so plan on being here. And in case you forget the address of the church and you want to tell somebody, I brought some cards, and Bassman's on this, the address is on there. And if you want to get these, we got these. And you can let them know. Now, next week is also the day you change your clocks. So it's going to be a difficult Sunday. And so be here on time, and invite somebody to come in with you. And the message is going to be, the whole study will be on communion. And that way, if they're here visitors, it won't be anything that'd be frightening. And so
you
let's.
Get some food, because you will get hungry 1 hour earlier.
So next week, the clock will be changed, and invite someone to church, and just bring them in, and we'll feed them, and my goodness, we'll feed them, we'll give them communion, just give them all of that. So my goodness, let's do that next week. Now, in regard to offer for the test, for the offering of statements and things, does anybody have any need? Anything we need to be in, put in our thing? Yes?
A couple of things. We have a friend, Lupita, who lost her son this week. He was 27 or so. 27, 28 years old. He lost his life this week. So give me a prayer for Lupita and her family. He has a 4-year-old daughter as well. So, and then I've got a friend, Christy, at my work, who was diagnosed with breast cancer this week. She's in her mid-30s, has a couple of young kids, so she's in for the battle. Hopefully they found it early. I don't know any details, but hopefully they found it early enough they can take care of that without too much of a fight. But we'll see. And then the Veterans Day event, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks from today. Lots of cards in the back. If you saw them in the back, in the front room there, I should say that's the front, I guess, maybe. They're all laid out. If you take over the next 2 weeks, sign them, put some good wishes on there. It's for the kids. It's for the college kids in there as well as the Veterans Day cards. We send so all of the vets that we celebrate with the balloon release, which, oh, by the way, that's still open. $5 for a balloon. It goes to supporting the youth ministry and to pay for the balloons. But we'd love to have you sign all those cards back there. We send a lot of the vets we get cards to. And Miss Music down in Florida made every one of those cards by hand. So they are beautiful. She does a wonderful job. She's just a faithful supporter of that, of that youth ministry and of our church. So thank you, Miss Music.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I have an unknown prayer request, please.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. All right. Anything? Yes.
I got two prayer requests. Well, actually, one prayer and one action. The first one is Brian has a nephew named Tennessee, and his colleague, Marine, they are in the Marine Corps, got shot right before he's supposed to go off to his post in Japan, I believe. And they believe that it was kind of, what do you call, friendly fire or something like that?
Yeah.
So please pray for him. I don't recall his name, but just just remember that it's Tennessee's friend.
Okay. Very good.
And the second one, and please forgive me if I sound a little radical here.
Do we want to record this?
We have a lot of people in the congregation and also on the internet, and I got a Google message as of last month. We have 2,989 views on the address of our church on Google, but we only have 6 reviews, and the last reviews was a year ago. So if you love this church, if you would like this church to grow, the very first thing you can do is show them some love. That's all, tell the world why you love this church on the reviews on Google. And it's very easy. Go to the Google, you know, when you do the Google search, put in Spring Valley Bible Church, and then it's going to show Spring Valley Bible Church in Texas with the picture. We have, you know, if you remember Chris and Phil, you know, they're all in there on those pictures. So if you see those pictures, you know that's us. And then just click on the third tab that's called Reviews. And on there, put in some kind words, please. Because we can't take it down once it's there. And just let the world know why you love us.
Does it help to do it on Facebook also?
Yes. That would actually help. Like, if you do it on Facebook, please post it as public, because otherwise then it's only for people who are within the church that will be able to see it. Okay. Really appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you. And we got Kit and me, 2 other preachers. All right.
About the picture, just to be clear. You guys being eliminated.
All right. What's going on in Aggie Land?
Not much.
Not.
Well, if we could be in prayer, everybody in the core is sick right now, including myself.
Oh, wow. Is it COVID?
Yeah.
COVID?
No, it's just everybody gets sick. When one person gets sick, the air ventilation system in the dorm stinks. So, just pray for health for everybody. And then just energy. Everybody's kind of burnt out. This was our first free weekend since school started. that's been 8 weeks in a row of no free weekends. So, trying to do school and the core and then not having a weekend to recover after that is just kind of exhausting. So, pray for energy and lack of burnout. Because
okay.
This was a good weekend, I think, but hopefully everybody can recover and be better.
How are things going in school?
College is a lot of fun.
I love that.
That's a pointed question because the parents are sitting right here. It's good. It's hard.
I bet it is.
Someone said mechanical engineering was this hard before I decided to do it. I think they did. I think it's sort of better than everybody else or something. But it's difficult, but it's good.
Tell us about.
Oh yeah, this is Holly. She's been here before.
Yes.
We're still dating.
Otherwise, in spite of this,
well, Holly, we're glad to have you. Nice. Okay, any other requests?
An announcement.
An
announcement.
Yes.
The Spring Valley Praise Singers are set to present the Christmas program this year on December the 19th. And we're going to have rehearsals. I think the first rehearsal is going to be the weekend before Thanksgiving. If anybody is interested in getting together then, you're able to get together then for a rehearsal. I'd like it to be in the late afternoon. That way it doesn't interfere necessarily with housekeeping here. You know, the audio mixing and the clearing up maintenance after church services on Sunday. So either on be Saturday, November the 20th, or Sunday the 21st, late afternoon after everybody's had a lunch break. I've got some music in mind. These are classic Christmas carols. If you're into classic Christmas carols, you will definitely recognize them. The one thing the theme is the ones I've picked
I've never sung before. Okay? Never sung before, but several of them are in our hymnal here. So look forward to that.
Will we know them?
After rehearsal, yes.
Okay. Well,
I think we need more than one or two rehearsals.
Well, we can have three rehearsals.
About
that,
maybe more.
I think the weekend before Thanksgiving is a good introduction. Those of you I know who's ultimately very going to be part of the praise singers. You know, you're going to be one of them. It's just I'll get the music to you. I'll give you an idea. Take me after service today. So.
Okay, thank you. They've never invited me to sing with y'all. I've never. I mean, in all the years, I've not been invited. And that tells you something. All right, let's talk about what's important, things we're going to get done in the world takes money. So let's dig an offering, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to serve you, to tell others of you. And therefore, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You can use the offerings for the spreading of the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Let's continue with hymn number 213. Hymn number 213. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
With my love, I will Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Okay, I hope everyone has a copy of today's lesson. It is the suffering servant. Jesus is the suffering servant. So, did anyone not have it? Okay, we all got it. So let's get ready for our study in the Word of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know your servant. He served you, and he provided for us eternal life. Pray, Father, now that your Spirit will open eyes or ears to lessons you are to have in today's teaching. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now this is the study of Ephesians, but we're in... We've got to start off in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. But we do see him, that's the Christ, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of his suffering death, crowned in glory and in honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Alright, let's get a little idea of what this is about. Starts off with, but we do see him. That is, we see Jesus Christ, who was made for us by God the Father, for a little while. Alright. This is during his time on earth, up to his resurrection. Lower than angels. He was created, brought into being, lower than angels. We saw last week that he was higher than angels after his resurrection. In his success, in his session at the right hand of God the Father, namely Jesus, the humanity of the Son of God, that is the first time his name is mentioned in the book of Hebrews, because of his suffering of death, associated with death, are crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Taste death for you and for me. Now, because of his suffering, he was crowned with glory and honor. We're going to have the word glory in several of the passages of Scripture, so I want you to relay in your mind the thinking, the death of Christ and the glory on Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Seeking to know what person of our time the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, within them was indicated by as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow the sufferings. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, continuing with the glories. Therefore, I, Peter, exhort the elders among you as your fellow elders and a witness. He's soon to be gone, all the early witnesses of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Again, the suffering of Christ is associated with glory. Chapter 4, verse 13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of His glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. Now, but we now come to this title, The Suffering Servant. And that's going to be our study for a couple of weeks. Suffering Servant. Or the suffering of the servant of the Son of God. Let's start off with Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon him. Look at the three members of the Godhead. I, God the Father, have put the Holy Spirit upon him, Jesus Christ. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Now, just to let you know and understand, you can read this from other pastors, and it's not about the Holy Spirit. It's not about Jesus Christ. I don't know why, but they will not say it. They will not talk of it that way. They give it to you thing in the time of Isaiah. But if we study it correctly, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. Now, we've got to understand what's happening with the cross. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established, now look at this, established justice on the earth. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Then we go to chapter 49, verse 1. Listen to me, old islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. This is, if we understand what's going on, here is the God, the Lord, is God the Father, has called me, Jesus Christ, from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. And he has also made me a sharper aloe. He has hidden me in his quiver. Verse 3. He said to me, you are my servant. Now I'll explain Israel in a minute. Israel, in whom I will show my glory. Verse 4. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord. That's with God the Father. My reward is with my God. And now, says the Lord, who formed me from the womb, this is Jesus Christ speaking of God the Father, the womb, to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected ones of Israel. I will also make you a light and of the nations, that's what Jesus Christ will be, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, what I just want to stop for a moment, it says the end of the earth. Now, it's one thing to study history right now, and as we grew up with what happened in the countries and around America and the making of America and all these things. But the ends of the earth, that takes Japan, China, all those places, those countries are involved at that point. Now, verse 7. Thus says the Lord.
Hey, Herman?
Yes, sir.
I got a couple questions here. Back to the justice issue. First of all, can you set the person that's speaking to us here? Is this out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit?
Okay.
Going towards Jesus Christ? Or is this Jesus Christ speaking through Isaiah?
This is Jesus Christ speaking about God the Father, and while He, the Father, is going to do in regard to the Holy Spirit and Him.
But it's coming through the mouth of Isaiah.
Through Isaiah as a teacher.
So this is Old Testament.
Yes.
And the Jews are listening to what they are rejecting or accepting as coming.
That's exactly what we're going to look at. Most of them rejected. Most of them didn't even understand it. Some did.
Okay.
Some did. Okay?
Yep.
Now, verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and its Holy One, that refers to Jesus Christ, to the despised one, that's Jesus Christ, to the one abhorred by the nations, that's where they reject His word, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise, princes will also bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful and the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. He got chosen Christ.
Okay, so the justice in the prior concept is setting up the idea of what Isaiah is speaking to about Jesus Christ and God.
And what the justice that He's going to provide at the cross.
Okay, but gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
Isaiah 52. Now we move to what we're going to be looking at and studying in Isaiah 52, 53. Isaiah 52, just go to verse 13. Behold, my servant, this is God speaking, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lightly up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, that's what Paul is saying, my people, so his appearance was marred beyond that of a human. That's talking about Jesus Christ, marred. And his form beyond the sons of mankind. So, he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. All what they had done, they had not been told. What they have not been told, they will now see. And what they had not heard, they will now even understand. Now we go to our study, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Verse 1. Who has beloved, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has no stately form or majesty, that we should look at him as reward, nor an appearance that we should take pleasure at him. Now let's just jump on through these verses. We've already read them, so let's just move first on over to our study, and we will come to verse 53, or Isaiah 53, verse 1. Now, a careful study will disclose that this is not his servant Israel. It is his servant is Jesus Christ, Jesus Yeshua. His servant will come with the Holy Spirit in him, that is, in the person of Jesus Christ, and he will suffer on the cross. Then he will be buried and will rise again. Now, what a plan for the servant of God. All the suffering. Verse 1. Who has believed our message? Isaiah is speaking. He's the one speaking for all Jews. He is the one speaking for all Jews who see and understand the truth of Scripture. Our refers to Jewish message. That refers to the report. That's what we would understand as the gospel. Not many did even understand it. But that is not unlike today, even in the world today, where not many believe the gospel about Jesus Christ. Here we look at Romans chapter 10, where they had the truth of the gospel proclaimed to them throughout their history, and few believed. Now, verse 1, Isaiah 53, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This is a reference to Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, is the arm of the Lord. Verses 2 through 4, first advent. And if you do not want to see it in this passage, you won't see it. If you want to, it's right here. Now, verse 2. For he grew up before him like a tender shoot. For he, to whom does this referring to? He, that is the arm of the Lord, out of verse 1, his servant, referring to his Messiah, grew up before him, and that is Jesus grew up before him, before God the Father, like a tender shoot. It has been said that Isaiah shines above Jesus, about Jesus, more than any of the through the New Testament. And it begins in shining by him as a tender shoot. Isaiah 11:1, then a shoot will spring out from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, that is, on Jesus Christ. So, this phrase is used of our Lord, a tender shoot. Let's look at the tender suit in three ways. One, God sees Jesus first as an infant child or suckling child. That's the first one. Secondly, men did not see Jesus as any more important than a tender shoot. And then thirdly, God sees him as one he cut off. That's a picture of the cross to save mankind. Now let's go to verse 2. And like a root from a parched ground. Now, in the previous phrase, Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, was viewed as a tender shoot. Now he is viewed as a root out of parched ground. This word means more than just dry ground. It refers to a time of drought. This is when Christ was born. Lack of rain. Being without water. Here, when it says that Jesus Christ is like a root out of parched ground, and it's referring to the nation of Israel. At the time of the birth of Christ, Israel is viewed as a parched ground at that time, and therefore rejecting the Savior. That's which is what they will do. This imagery was used by Isaiah in describing the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. That's the father of David. See, that's why a lot of people think this was talking about that, not talking about Jesus Christ. And a branch from the root.
How many years of Isaiah to Christ? Is it 500 years or more?
Yes.
About 500?
Yeah.
So he was prophesied this 500.
500 years. Yep. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. A reference to Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Isaiah 53:2. Not only does the parched ground refer to the land of Israel, but also to the nation at the time of Jesus Christ and the spiritual condition of the nation. It was pitiful. Of the peoples at the time of Jesus. It also refers to the environment at the time Jesus Christ lived. So it refers to the condition, the environment at the time of Jesus Christ. It also is a picture of how a root has to struggle in dry ground. That is the struggle of the person of Jesus Christ. Not easy to grow in dry, hostile ground. Yet, this is environment at his time. He has no stately form. That's Jesus Christ has no stately form or majesty in appearance that we should look upon him as one who is special. Nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. Now, this was so important because, why is this important? Because they were looking for the King. When Christ came, they were looking for the King. And here is this suffering servant who was not attractive, nor one who has desire, regard looking at him, physically looked at him like he was just a, if you were going to the grocery line, line fast, the quicker speed, you push him out of the way. That's the place you would have taken Jesus Christ. Now, there are three references in this. We, our, all. We, verse 2. Our, verse 4. All, verse 6. We, verse 2, refers to the Jewish people. Our, verse 6, the joint people. All, verse 6, refers to all people. The we refers to the Jews at the time of the incarnation, especially the referring to the hierarchy and the Sanhedrin. But again, we know that there were only a few who recognized him as the promised Messiah. For an example, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, unnamed others among the Sanhedrin. But as a full council, they voted to crucify him. They carried disdain for him. As we studied through the six trials of Jesus Christ, actually, as we studied through his whole life, where they carried a hatred for him and desired to kill him. But of course, you remember, his hour had not come yet. Now, verse 3, take a look. He was despised and forsaken of men. This is a picture and describe of Jesus Christ, our Savior. This Hebrew adjective means rejected. In fact, it means the opposite of hearing. It's in the Hebrew. They refuse to hear, and they refuse to accept positively who Jesus Christ was, what he proclaimed about himself and about the kingdom of God. They rejected. This is one of the sad truths communicating the truth of the Scriptures, is that many will refuse to listen and many will reject what is being spoken. Many people are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. They don't have to, but they're going to. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 27. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you will say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse. For they are a rebellious house. Israel, rebellious. There are those who listen and believe, but most will not listen and certainly will not believe. What is so sad is that the servant, Messiah, came to provide salvation for all mankind, Jew and Gentile. Yet, both Jew and Gentile are characterized as refusing him, rejecting him, and by so doing, seal their own eternal doom. God does not predestine anyone to eternal doom. Each individual makes their own decision where they spend eternity. Now, we now come to the third characteristic of our suffering servant. We've seen despised, we've seen rejected, and now, man of sorrows. Only we need to note the Hebrew word here. It says man of sorrows. In the Hebrew, this is the word for pain. I looked at about 25 Bibles, and only two translated this one pain. But I was glad that they did. So it's actually pain. A man of pain. Or better, pain inflicted upon him is the way that it should be read. Pain inflicted upon him. Most of you realize that Jesus Christ had pain reflected upon him because it is our sins, our own. He pained because of us. But we must remember that Jesus Christ endured severe pain that belongs to us due to our sins. Jeremiah 30, verse 15, why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable because your iniquity is great and your sins are innumerable. I have done these things to you, made you suffering. Now, we learn much from Isaiah 53:3. First, he is a man rejected by men. He is the servant of the Son of God. He is a member of the human race at his incarnation. We learn from other passages that he is the Son of God. He is deity. He is the unique member of the universe. He is the God-man. Now, I know that Mormons like to say we all become gods. We become man-gods. That is not biblical. Only Jesus Christ is unique. He and he alone is the God-man. He is man, but he is the man of pain from the sins of mankind. Before we look at it in reference to our Savior about this, how would you like to live your entire life characterized as a man of pain? This is Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word refers to pain caused from suffering. 3 points. Pain is the result of sin. 2, but now we come to the sorrow, the pain of Jesus Christ on the cross. His sorrow, his pain was from God the Father. His pain was from God the Father for his being identified with sins of the world. So he is a man of pain, but it's from God the Father. And 3, you are the cause of the pain of Jesus because of your sins. We could say my sins. But not only is he a man of pain, but he is acquainted with grief. He knows grief. The Hebrew word for grief refers to severe sickness. Now, so we are to be understood, we are to understand this reference to the suffering servant becoming severely ill. Sickness is an excellent metaphor for sin. Jeremiah 17:9, which we've studied before. Yes.
Herman, I have a question regarding that he knows grief. Does he know grief only through his humanity, or he knows it through his deity as well?
His humanity.
Okay.
Jeremiah 17:9, which we have studied many times, the heart, that's your heart, is more deceitful than all else. This describes our flesh nature, and is desperately incurably sick. That's our flesh nature. This is a different word for sickness than we had in Isaiah 53:2-3, but carries the same ideal in it. Who can understand it? Still reading the Jeremiah 17. Who can understand it? No one can. Not even we ourselves. What we have to understand is that every one of us are born with a heart more deceitful, a heart desperately sick. And it's going to stay that way for all eternity if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. If it were not for the painful death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we would have a severe sickness of heart for all eternity. Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5, where will you be stricken again? Speaking to Isaiah, or to Israel. As you continue in your rebellion against the Messiah, the whole heart is sick, and the whole heart is faint from sin, rebellion against God. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot to the head, there is nothing found in it, only bruises, welts, raw wounds, not pressed out of a bandage, nor softened with oil, joint eaten away by the flesh. Here is Isaiah chapter 53. It describes the sickness of our will, of our guilt, that Jesus Christ will come to know on the cross when he is identified with sins of the world, our sins on the world. He was despised and projected of men. Man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. The next phrase refers how Israel, instead of embracing him, for what he's doing, reject him. Verse 3, and like one from whom men hid their face. Now, the Hebrew is subject to is a difficult interpretation. Literally, this is translated, and as of hiding of faces from him. Hiding faces away from him. It involves hiding. Or, actually, to turn away. Or desiring not to look at someone because they are so pathetic to even look at. That's looking at our Savior. This gives you some idea of what Jesus Christ looked like hanging on the cross. This refers to face. Only now it refers to the attitude of looking at the face, at the hard face of Jesus Christ bearing suffering from us. The point being expressed is from react of those who look upon him, and the reaction of those of their hearts as they looked upon him. As he was covered in pain and stricken with sickness of sin, we found him repulsive to look at that we covered our faces from looking at him. That's how bad it was. Not even look at him for the heaviness of the suffering of sinful pain. This gives some idea of the heart and soul of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who took Jesus Christ down on the cross, cleaned him up, and put him in a wrap and put him in the grave. This is what they had to look at. He was despised. Now, got to get a little Hebrew for you. This is a niphel participle. Now, why do I want to point that up? The niphel participle is used to denote something continual, passive action. That is, he kept on receiving, being despised. The Hebrew word means to hold in contempt, to continually hold on contempt, to despise, to hold someone or something in disdain in your soul, in your thinking, to disrespect them. Have you ever despised, have disrespect from someone so important to you so that this hurt you? Probably not. Now, but you understand this multitude around the world of your Savior is contempt, disdain. They despised him, and they despised everything, everyone who believes him. This is what's going on in the world today. This is hatred and disdain is increasing around the world today. Now, in closing tonight, or this morning, I want to look at one verse from Psalm 51. I'd like to read the whole thing, but we don't have time. This is Psalm 51:17. Now, first of all, the context. That you probably don't just right to it. Psalm 51:17 is about David. In coming to God after sinning with Bathsheba, and sending her husband into battle so that he can die. He does through a list of things God is not looking for when this thing happens. This is what God is looking for. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise. The sacrifices of God, this is what God will accept. Not sacrifices of animals, but a sacrifice of a heart broken by your sin before Him. As a broken spirit, that your arrogance is now broken. This is describing David at this time. A broken and contrite heart. Do you know? Think of all the things that King David has done. I mean, started off as a kid taking on animals, and then taking on a giant. On and on and on. Now looking at him, a broken and contrite heart. Do you know what a contrite heart is? It is a heart that is crushed, broken in pieces. Most often due to sin. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, arrogance. Broken and contrite heart, crushed heart, crushed by sin. Not everyone will give in this condition of the heart. We saw it in 2 Thessalonians that there are those who are brought to shame. And that's what will happen to David. You will not despise. You, God, will not despise. This is what God is looking for from all of us when we sin and continue in sin and try to come to Him on that basis, to God's base on that basis. Okay. Anytime, we'll continue this next week, or actually next week, we have a special night, a special morning in communion. So we're going to study just communion. And then the next Sunday, we'll be back at our study of the suffering servant. Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you for your word that tells us these things. It gives us the picture of our Savior, what through the pain He went through for us each day. Father, we love what He did for us. It's but a joy and a pleasure to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, about His Word. We pray, Father, you receive the blessings that we've just read and talked about. Bring these into meaning into our souls. We pray these things in Christ's name, for His glory. Amen.